Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Bears get the victory. And we were actually able to hear, at home that is, this song more than once, which is cool. It is Gabe Ramirez. That is me hanging out with you guys till 5 o'clock. And it is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Bosch Power Tools and Busey Bank. And today, for the first time in months, our guests will be talking about a victory. And what a lineup of guests they are. Olin Krutz, DJ Moore, Brad Biggs. Those three hang out with Mully and Haw at 7, 8, and 9 a.m. respectively. Anthony Herron, Dan Wiederer. Those two guys hang out with Bernstein and Harris at 11 and then 1. Then Kurt Warner, Mark Grody, my guy, and Jalen Johnson hang out with Spiegel and Holmes at 3, 4, and 5 o'clock. TJ Edwards hangs out on Tuesday at noon with Bernstein and Harris. That's going to be fun, too. Make sure you guys are there for that. I got to be honest. Sometimes when I'm thinking about this game, like, you would think you'd be upset. I should be upset. It's the end of a season. Bears go down one draft pick. You know, not that that matters, but I'm just saying, like, all these things that you should, that are reasons, but I'm not. I got to be honest. I'm genuinely happy today. I'm happy the Bears won. I do not care that it was against Malik Willis. I do not care that Josh Jacobs is not playing. I do not care that Christian Watson went down in the first quarter. I do not care. There is nothing, like, if a Packers fan came up to him and was like, oh, dude, but we didn't even have it, I would be like, wow, you're really upset about that. That game doesn't even matter for your season, and you're more upset than I am happy about this. That's odd to me. But it lets you know that Packers fans, because they don't have Super Bowls, the only thing that they've been able to hang their hat on is beating the Bears.
Well, and the Bears were already winning before all those injuries and maybe Green Bay resting their starters happened. So it wasn't like, oh, the Bears retook the lead or took the lead right after Green Bay made those moves. No, the Bears were in front the entire way for this game.
It's a great point. The Bears were in the driver's seat. Some would call it cruise control. And again, you can say, oh, well, if Jordan Love's there, then what? Because to your point, Tyler, he didn't do it in the first quarter. He didn't put up sevens in the first quarter.
My dad nearly fell out of his seat when they threw up that stat that the Bears hadn't held a lead since week 12.
Yeah, against
the
Vikings.
He was shocked by that.
That did not shock me. What shocked me was that it was in week 12. I would have thought it would have been like week 5 or something like that.
Well, he was just like, oh, my God, it's been that long since they haven't held a lead.
Yeah. It's been bad. But I want to talk to you. You heard the phone line ringing in the background. We've got some more lines open, and I would love to hear from you, all right? 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out till 5 o'clock. The Bears beat the Packers, but what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean for Caleb? What does it mean for the team? What does it mean for the organization? And more importantly, after the Bears won, when the Bears won, as Cairo Santos' field goal was making its way through the uprights, did you let out a yell? Or did you just shrug your shoulders? I'm curious about what the end of the game was like for you. Because at this point in the season, it could say a lot about who you are. And I'm curious. Let's go to Joe out in Green Bay. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, Gabe?
Good to talk to you again, brother.
You too, man. Those victory nuggets you're eating on Instagram look pretty good.
So I go get some Chipotle honey. Like, it's like 11 o'clock. So I did TV. So I get off at 10:30 from Fox 32. And then I'm like, what the hell am I going to eat? And then I'm like, I need some chicken. But I'm downtown Chicago and there's not many chicken places that are open, you know, like a Harold's or something like that. So
yeah.
I end up having to go to Papa John's. Not bad. Not a bad choice. Garlic Parmesan.
No, not bad.
Garlic Parm breadsticks from Papa John's. One of the most underrated sides in all of, you know, fast food, I guess you would say.
Those definitely do look good. I'll have to give them a try myself.
All right. Well, hopefully you get some better chicken a little bit later, Joe. But talk to me about how you're feeling about this victory.
Dude, I'm telling you, like, I'm feeling great because being a Bears fan, a lifelong Bears fan, and living up here, dude, it's a struggle because you're outnumbered everywhere you go because there's Packer fans everywhere. And especially every time the Bears lose to the Packers, which happens all the time, except for today, of course, I never hear the end of it. It's my phone blows up, the Bears still suck, and I hear all this crap. And this year was the first year I decided not to go to the game because I'm not gonna spend my hard-earned money and get disappointed again and do it in front of so many cheeseheads who are just gonna keep laughing in my face.
Yeah.
And when Cairo Santos made that field goal, it was like 10 years of just anguish and bitterness and everything. We just got released. I yelled at the top of my lungs. I was so happy. and like, dude, I don't care if we went from pick 9 to pick 10. It's not like you're moving from 1 to 2. That's a bigger thing. But I'm like, we finally beat the Packers. We did it in their home field. And a lot of the Packer fans around here, they're really bitter, by the way. They're like, oh, well, you do it again, backups. I'm like, I saw Luke Musgrave out there. I saw Josh Jacobs out there. I saw all these, you know, the Packers.
Joe, you got to tell them that Jordan Love didn't play defense on the last drive. Neither did Josh Jacobs.
Exactly.
You know, those guys wouldn't have been there.
Exactly. And did you see that during that final play when the Bears did that rather interesting, like, formation with the three guys all in a row? Did you notice the Packers were playing prevent defense and left the middle of the field wide open?
Yeah, it was a telling tale for them. They certainly could have handled that situation differently. But you know what? You're right, Joe. It's like this victory, we feel good in Chicago. I feel good, you know, my victory nuggets and my belting out at the end. But the Bears fans that don't live in Chicago, this really is for you. This is more for you. It's more for you because you're right. You guys are outnumbered everywhere you go, and you have to defend this organization more than anyone else here in the city of Chicago.
And the worst part about it is that it's hard to defend it when the Packer fans actually have ground to stand on because they've beat us like almost every time we played for like the last 6 years, and the Packers are in the playoffs every year. And here we are, you know, like, oh, Bears, new quarterback. Oh, it was great, by the way. But it just seems like the mantra of this year and so many years, it's like the – and I said on your show before, the more things change, the more things stay the same. So I look like an idiot, you know, keep on representing this team that makes all these changes and they go nowhere. So it's like I can't say, oh, Green Bay sucks when they've been better for so long. And at least just for one day – I can say that the Bears are better than the Packers, at least for one day.
Joe, for one day, yesterday, you climbed Mount Everest. You made it to the top, you know?
That's what it feels like.
Can you imagine that? The Bears' fifth victory at the end of a season is equivalent to climbing Mount Everest. The happiness that you
seen,
joy.
Have you seen Rocky IV?
Yeah, of course. I love Rocky. The Rocky
series.
Yeah,
remember when Rocky's training and he climbs up the mountain and he yells "Drago" at the top of his lungs? Mm-hmm. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, and he still somehow wanted to say Aaron Rodgers sucked. It felt right. It felt right, but I don't know. It just whatever. Hey, Joe, I appreciate the phone call, man. And you know, even better than being able to gloat that the Bears beat the Packers is that you get to do it on the last game of the season, and now you get to carry it over them all the way till next year.
It's going to make this cold winter a little less cold, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, you know, just know that Bears like cheese too. It's all good. It's all good. All right, Joe. Have a good one, brother.
You too, man. Appreciate it. Take care.
312-644-6767. He's right. I think I'm more so focused, hyper-focused on Chicago and those that live here and what effect it has on us when, damn, the plight of the out-of-town Bears fan is...
Well, just like Marshall, I was like, oh my God, Marshall calling from Idaho. And he was just like, it sounded so just, what am I supposed to do with myself reacting to a win? And this is out in Idaho.
Because like if you live in St. Louis, right? Or let's say you live in Detroit. That's a better one.
Neighboring NFC North city.
Damn, and Detroit's good right now. Let's give an out of division town. Let's say you live in
Kansas City,
Miami.
Something like that.
Hella Bears, Denver. There you go. That's a better place because Denver has hardcore fans, but there's also a lot of Chicagoans in Denver. If you live in Denver, those Broncos fans are looking at you like you're an effing idiot. They're like, dude, what are you? Why are you? You know what I'm saying? Not even what are you doing? Why do you follow this team? Why? We're in Denver. Just follow our team. Like, that's got to suck for the out-of-town Bears fan. And then all of a sudden you get this, you know, this victory against the Packers, and you're like, baby, we back. I wrote down Super Bowl in my notebook too. Super Bowl. I text the group chat because, you know, that shortly thereafter the season concludes, your actual opponents, home and away, that comes out. And so I put it in my group chat. You know, every year we go on a road trip. Went to Houston this year. And so I put it in the group chat, and the post title was Road to the Super Bowl 2025 Road Trip. Because, I mean, after the victory, I was feeling good, Tyler. I was feeling really good. And then I said, we're either going to San... I threw it out there. I said, San Fran or D.C. I want to go to a game we can win. San Fran next year. Somebody said that Aaron Rodgers might go to the Niners. Don't shake your head at that.
They are paying Brock Purdy an insane amount of money, the 49ers. He is not going to the 49ers. He's not.
On a little user-friendly deal? I'm telling you, man. You think? Okay, wait. Better question. Do you think Aaron Rodgers is playing football next year?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
I legit do think he is going to.
This man just threw 4 touchdowns.
I got a weird feeling he's going to retire. He went out today with a 4 touchdown performance. He threw it to Devontae Adams nearly half the times. I got a weird feeling it's going to be it for him.
Shanahan goes it.
Hey, who would actually want him as a starting quarterback after this season?
The 49ers.
I'm telling you, man, they're going to pay Brock Purdy a crazy amount of money.
You're insane, dude.
This isn't me saying.
This is not
going to
happen.
They are going to pay Brock Purdy near $60 million.
No, they are not.
I think they are.
Let's do a gentleman's bet.
Okay.
Papa John's on either whoever wins or loses that bet.
Deal.
And I want the same setup. I want breadsticks like I bought today. Breadsticks, little pizza, little wangs.
Deal.
Okay. Sure? You sure you want to make that bet?
I'm sure.
You think the Niners are going to pay Brock Purdy all that money?
Yes. Yes, they are going to pay Brock Purdy all that money.
Okay. And then what? Rebuild the roster around Brock Purdy? You're crazy.
I'll even go as far as to say, this is extra. They'll pay him, I'll say, $58 million, and I'll throw an extra bonus out there. Although I don't think it's going to happen. They trade Deebo Samuel.
I could see that. You know what else I wrote in my notebook? Speaking of Deebo Samuel. Should the Bears use DJ Moore in the Deebo Samuel role more often? You saw it kind of work, right? They handed him the ball off a couple times in the last couple games. Excuse me. Then you know, they're giving him a bunch of wide receivers. They're trying to just get the ball in his hands. And DJ Moore is big. So maybe he's a baby, little baby Debo.
Would you like, okay, this is an honest question. Would you like if DJ Moore is more utilized like Debo Samuel?
That's what I was asking.
Or the ungodly amount of screen passes they throw to him as? Because I get kind of sick of those. If you were to pick one of the two, are you going with the crazy amount of screen passes or the utility?
I mean, the right answer is getting a better offensive line that can protect Moore that allows Caleb Williams to just get the ball to DJ Moore. That's the answer. But if I had to choose, and I'm assuming my offensive line is still bad, and so therefore I have to got to figure it out, then I'd say the Debo role. Give me my wide receiver, you know, end of rounds. Give me my, you know, I'll give him a couple of carries in the backfield. Give him some screens. He has to touch the ball. DJ Moore, his yak. I mean, when Romo Dunze actually blocks, or you know, Mercedes Lewis or Gerald Everett, when they all block, DJ Moore, you know, open field hates to see DJ Moore coming because
he is slippery.
He's a beast.
He's slippery.
He's good. All right, let's take some more phone calls. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Bob out in Racine. So, Bob, I know you're my Packers fan that calls in often and you give us your perspective of, you know, what's going on. Well, what's the perspective this time?
Hi, Gabe. It was a sigh of exasperation, that last field goal. It was tough to see the Bears beat the Packers at home. But just to be nice, I just wanted to say good luck in the playoffs.
Yeah, no problem, man. Good luck in the playoffs to you. You're the one that has to go face Philly in Philly.
It's
going to be bad. That's a tough first round. Nobody wants that.
Bad for us.
I mean, you guys can win. It's very possible. But it's possible, but it's just not the that's the worst matchup of any matchup you could have in the first round of the playoffs. Because the fact of the matter is, if you win that game, you then have to go play Detroit. So, you know, those are your first two games. Good luck. Talk about good luck to the Bears. Good luck to the Packers, because you guys are going to be right next to us. sitting down, contemplating your season and what you think you could do better to find yourself atop the NFC. It's going to be tough. But, you know, what do you think the Packers are going to do with their wide receiver room?
Oh, I don't know. It's going to be bad. They're going to have to be looking for people.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, man. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You know, Christian Watson is going to be that football player that, you know, 10 years from now is like, damn, if I didn't get hurt. Romeo Dobbs didn't play today. I know they were trying to just keep him, you know, healthy. Jordan Reed. I mean, they have players.
You think they'll do what they normally do out in Green Bay? They'll draft a guy or two in the day two, day three of the draft. Nobody really heard of them that much, but Green Bay has great player development. They'll find a way to get these guys out in the field and make an impact. Yeah. That's the honest to God truth.
Yeah, they do a good job, certainly, of building out a roster. That's without a doubt. And they got to get lucky. They've gotten lucky. They've gotten really lucky. You let Jordan Love, or you're able to let Jordan Love sit for multiple seasons like that, where the man don't even play during his rookie contract, that's crazy. And then he ends up being good because he's able to get mentored by Aaron. I mean, like, it's awesome. All right, 312-644-6767. Bears beat the Green Bay Packers. Curious what it means. What does the victory mean? And then at the end of the game, were you like me and did you let out a scream? A scream of happiness like Caleb Williams. Let's go to Ryan out in Oak Forest. Ryan, talk to me, man. What'd you think about this victory?
Yeah. Well, hey. So, I mean, I have a job that makes me miss these games usually.
Okay.
And sometimes I'll find out the score before I can even watch it, and it stinks. But this specifically, it felt like missing my child's wedding, you know?
Wow.
With that said, it didn't completely, well, I mean, it's special to beat the Packers in Lambeau.
Yeah, I mean, it's extremely special. It feels good. It hasn't happened in such a long time. Hello?
Yeah.
Ryan, you there? Yeah. You know, Ryan, it sounds like you're listening to yourself on the radio.
Yes. Oh, am I? I don't. No, it's just me. I'm on the phone.
Oh, I get it. No worries. Yeah, I mean, it definitely felt good to beat the Packers. I mean, we all feel that way. I want to, like, there are, who, I need you to pick up the phone and call me and talk to me if you weren't happy. Seriously, like, you were not happy. You didn't care. Like, I want to talk to you because clearly you think that there are bigger issues that are consuming your brain that won't allow you to enjoy the victory because of the things that are consuming your brain. And I'm curious what those are. You know? Like, that they're so top of mind, they won't let you enjoy the victory. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open right now. Let's go to Nate, though. Nate, Lake in the Hills. Talk to me.
Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
So, I was kind of like, eh, and I was, like, indifferent about the game because I'm like, great, now we're going to keep Ryan Poles when I think he should be fired after this, and everybody's going to look at, oh, you beat Green Bay, so now we can keep him. But in reality, I think he should be fired after this. I was actually talking to some people at work today, and it's like, think about it this way. If you were in sales for 11 weeks and had down sales for 11 weeks, do you think you would keep your job? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm just scared now we're going to keep him when I think he should be fired.
Did you think that the Bears roster was a finished product in terms of the rebuild?
I mean, from what they were saying, they thought this year that this was going to be the team that was going to go to the playoffs, you know, and this was going to be it. So, I mean, I don't know. We got to kind of take their word for it. But, I mean, obviously, through this year, we obviously found out that this team isn't good enough. You know what I mean? No disrespect to the players, but it's just not good enough in a competitive NFC North. You know what I mean? We're going to have to do more.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Nate. I think when you're talking about expectations for this team, I don't think anybody said that they were going to go to the playoffs. I think they wanted to compete for a playoff spot, and that was assuming everything would go right. Right? I mean, they had 7 victories. To go plus 3 is very difficult in the NFL, and to go from 7 to 10, from 7 to 11 is even more difficult. So, like, that sits right there. But I'm looking at the team, and I think, again, the expectations were a little bit too high. But I think overall, do I think Ryan Poles has done the best job? No, absolutely not. Right? I think we all can agree on that. Do I think that he is done with his timeline in terms of how many seasons he thought it was going to take him in order to have a team with sustained success? I think he's still 1 year removed from that. So to me, that's why I'm like, you get one more year because you told me 3 years ago it was going to take 4 years, not 3. And so I need to see you finish this off. Because for me, Nate, wouldn't you agree, if you fix if the Bears went out and signed a great defensive lineman, two great offensive linemen, and then drafted offensive and defensive linemen to shore that up, you wouldn't feel good about this Bears team heading into next season?
I mean, I would feel better about it if that's what we do. But looking at what our schedule is next year, it's a tough – I don't know if you looked at it at all.
It's horrible. Yeah, it's horrible.
It's a terrible schedule. I mean, I looked at it already, and I see maybe 5 wins, even with maybe improvements because of just all the playoff teams we have to play and the divisions we're playing next year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, Nate, see, that's where right then and there, you know? I know, but you got to understand, Nate. Hold on.
Going out and getting an offensive line.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, Nate, what you're saying, but you have to understand – that's where Caleb Williams needs to come in. Caleb Williams needs to get you those victories. You see 5 wins because you're used to the Bears having an inferior quarterback, inferior trench play, and, you know, inferior coach. So you look at teams and you put dubs next to them because you're used to the Bears sucking. But now you have a good quarterback. Now, you cannot be so cynical that you just assume the Bears are going to get the coaching decision wrong. So if you can want to do that, then I could equally do the Bears get it right scenarios. And that's what I'm saying. If the Bears get a good, not even a good coach. Matt Eberflus never coached in the league before. Like, get somebody with experience. So if you bring an experienced head coach, They got money. They're going to pay for offensive and defensive linemen. You want to know why? Because there's no, they don't have to pay anywhere else. They don't have to spend money anywhere else. The cornerbacks are lined up. DBs are fine. Linebackers, fine. Wide receivers, fine. Quarterback, fine. Running back, you might need to get something else, but you could do that in the draft. Right? Tight end, fine. You got to get another one, sure. Remember, you gave Gerald Everett 2 years, though. So, like, what is left? It's just the offensive and defensive line. So, again, if I go out and sign a three technique, so now I got Jervon Dexter, you know, does Billings sign for one more year? Can you look that up while I'm talking, Tyler? How many more years does Billings have left on his deal? You know, so now you're getting a rotation, get another defensive end. That, you know what another thing is, guys? We don't know what kind of defense the Bears will be playing next year. You want to know what I wrote in my notebook, bold and big? There was a moment where the Bears were playing 3-4. I know you weren't paying attention. What's up? What, you got it?
No, yeah. Andrew Billings is signed through next year. He signed on November 2nd, 2023, 2 year, $8.5 million.
Oh my gosh, still. So he'll be back for one more, for sure. Lost my train of thought, though. What was I saying? Damn it. You were looking up so you couldn't see it? I know. Damn it. I was on fire.
You're on the path of basically only offense and defensive lines are
yes.
Give me priority.
Yes, give me my defensive end. Pair him up with Dexter Sweat. Oh, I was saying the 3-4 defense. The Eric Washington called a couple 3 like they were in nickel, but it was like a 3-4 nickel. And it's interesting because when you look at Martin and you look at Daryl Taylor. Those two guys operate like outside linebackers in a 3-4 defense anyway. So I'm sure Eric Washington was just trying to utilize the defense properly, so to speak. But you don't know what kind of defense the Bears are going to be playing next year. Maybe they have Sweat. Oh, my gosh.
You know who's the most underrated player on the defense? Who's, Kyler Gordon.
Oh,
he's a beast.
I wouldn't even say he's underrated. I think people
underappreciated.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, that he's not getting the... He should get more shine.
I don't think he gets talked about enough.
Right, he should get more shine. But I will say I think everyone acknowledges how good Kyler Gordon is.
I just feel like other guys get sort of recognized more than... Like, if Brisker was healthy, Brisker gets noticed more than Gordon does.
Yeah, they get more snaps than Gordon does, right? Where Gordon and Jack Sanborn alternate between a true 4-3 and... a nickel coverage. So you're not a nickel all the time, and that's when Kyler Gordon comes in. So he's not playing every snap on defense, and I think that's where maybe he's not getting the same kind of love as everybody else is getting. So I totally understand that as well. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but I want to take your phone calls. I still want to talk to you. The phone lines are open. I'm here. Bears win, beat the Packers, but what does that mean? What does it mean? All right? What does it mean? What does it mean? They won. You were happy or sad. What does it mean? And then when the Bears did win and Kyra Santos kicked that field goal, did you scream a little bit? Did you yippee? And listen, if you're bold enough, I'll let you recreate the sound on the radio. Tyler, let's show the people what it would sound like. Go ahead. Recreate your sound when the Bears won.
Oh, you're putting me... Okay, it was just kind of like...
The field goal's up! It's good!
Oh, my God! Yeah. Oh, my God!
Yeah, that's good. Oh, my God is good. God is good. Gave you the victory today. All right, 312-644-6767. These phone lines are yours. And I want to talk to you after the break. All right, it's Gabe Ramirez. Ready to chat with you next here on 670 The Score.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
team formation. Bear down, Chicago Bears. We whooping Green Bay Packers ass. I don't care if they didn't have Love or Jacobs. We got it.
Yeah, remix, baby.
Bears get the dub. Take down the Green Bay Packers 24-22. I'll freestyle all day over that song.
Feels good to play that song on this overnight show again.
You can only imagine what I could rhyme with LaFleur. Just take a guess. Can't say it on the radio, though. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you guys. Going to be playing some Caleb Williams in a little bit. It's going to be great stuff today. We got some great, great guests, man. Shout out to everybody on hold that's waiting. I'll get to you in just a second. Phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. Ready to take your thoughts, man. This is the last time. When was the last time you got to speak highly of the Bears? Usually, when I'm doing overnights, you guys are just complaining the whole time. 5 hours nonstop of fire flues, fire poles. Caleb Williams isn't the guy. 5 hours strong phone calls all the way through. Bears get the victory. And now you just want to sleep on your pillow. Calmly. All my guys in, where's my Las Vegas people at? Look, they don't even want to call in. They're just happy. They're at the bar talking trash to the Packers fans. That's what they're doing somewhere else. But I am curious what you guys got to say. Let's go out to the phone lines and go talk to Daniel and Lamont. Daniel, welcome to 670 The Score.
How are you doing?
Doing good, man. What you got for me?
Just mainly importance of this win as far as the rivalry itself. I can't remember after last time it seemed to me the rivalry was good. It was when Lance Briggs, maybe Urlacher was around. Just the importance of the current players and the staff. How important this win was for the fans. Last game of the season. It was a close one. When that field goal that Santos kicked, it almost to me looked like it was gonna be blocked. Seeing the Green Bay players had their hands up in the air, and it looks like to me it looked like it was gonna be blocked, but it actually went through. So that was a pretty good, hard fought win. That's what I enjoyed about that game.
Yeah, I think it was just because we're so used to losing, Daniel, it was a mirage. You know, it made you thought you saw the block kick. You thought you saw a Bears loss. But in actuality, it was right there in front of you, a Bears victory. There were some things to take away from the game, though, right? When you're talking about resilience, I was talking to Brian Baldinger, right, former NFLer, and I asked him, I said, hey, Baldy, we as analysts or fans, we can sit up here and say that losing takes a toll on players, but you played the game. Is there fluff? Is there truth to that? Like, what's going on there? And he told me on this show, not the overnight show, but my night show, he said, Gabe, it weighs on you, and there's only one cure for losing like that. He said, it's getting a win. He said, it's as simple as that. He's like, you start to think, he said, he said that what you start to think as an organization, as a player, as a coach, when you start to lose so much, is that you're constantly waiting for the here we go again moment. That, and for us as Bears fans, that moment was the DJ Moore fumble, right? Time to pull that up. Pull that up. The Daryl Johnston call. Oh, he's on it. He's taking calls. The Daryl Johnston call. No. I'll get to him in a second. But you're waiting for that here we go again moment. It happens. DJ Moore fumbles the ball. But again, what is the one thing that can defeat that? And it is getting that victory. So Bears get the ball. 58 seconds left. What are you thinking, Daniel?
What was I thinking? I didn't think they were going to pull it off. I really didn't. With the DJ Moore fumble. That's exactly what you just said. Here we go again. I didn't think they were going to do it. So
I mean, then it gets to the fourth down, right? They were at, what was it, Was it fourth down? Yeah, they got to second and six, third and 11. That's what it was. Third and 11. And then he hits DJ Moore for that field goal. No, I'm thinking about the play. Wait, what? When did that happen? The fourth down to... What am I thinking? Why am I drawing a blank here? Wasn't it a fourth down play? Did that not happen? Am I tripping right now? I'll look it up again. I thought it was a fourth down play that he hit DJ Moore crossing. Like he had DJ Moore on a crossing route on fourth and something. Maybe that was a little bit earlier in the thing. Either way, it just felt good to see, didn't it? Didn't it feel good just to be cheering? Didn't that just feel good, Daniel?
I cheered probably not as much as I should have. Just probably just too much disappointment over the years. So, but I got to tell you, though, they played hard. They played to win. And that was that was a surprise that they played hard in the last game. It really was to me.
Yeah, it felt good to get it, man. Daniel, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. It felt good. It felt good because the Bears needed it. The fans needed it. And I think that's what we're learning as we listen to this a little bit longer. It was an organization suffering, a fan base embarrassed, looking for some semblance of hope, heading into an offseason where there was going to be change and uncertainty. And so to get this victory just reminds the Bears fans that, okay, well, it is possible to happen. All right, I want to play some Caleb Williams. You got that, Tyler? All right, I want to play a little bit of Caleb Williams here. This is him following the game. He went a little longer than normal, which I really appreciated. He's wearing a funny, bright orange coat. I don't know what was going on with that thing. But that's my QB. QB1, I respect him. He handles himself like a professional, and it is really cool to see. But you get the opportunity to hear it right now. Caleb Williams following the Bears' victory right now on 670 The Score.
How's it going, everybody? Pretty good.
Caleb, that's a hell of a first chapter to write. It's hopefully going to be a long story.
Yep.
Career at Lambeau. What does it feel like to come up here and with a chance to go down and get a game-winning drive and actually get it done?
Yeah, it's couldn't ask for a better way to end the season. Through all of, you know, what's going on, through all of coaches being fired, not playing well, myself, and then us losing many, many games in a row. 12? What was it? 10, 11? Some crazy number. that, you know, being able to put Cairo in that same situation that we put him in, you know, last game, him being able to relive that moment and not just relive it, but, you know, obviously, you know, put it through the uprights. And so, you know, being able to have that moment was great. Being able to have the first win of 2025, being able to have the first win since 2015 in Lambeau, being able to have the first win versus Green Bay in 10 games. And so it's, you know, a first of a lot, and really excited about, you know, this offseason, being able to grow for myself. You know, the moves and people that we'll get to be able to grow and you know, make a monumental jump for next year and be able to, you know, start next season off right.
Cool. Walk us through the throw to DJ.
Yeah. So right in the huddle, we call the first play. They call a timeout, and I see obviously why they called a timeout. They had DJ one on one with no over the top help, and so it's probably not the, you know, not the position that you want to be in, you know, at the end of the game. And so, you know, I call a timeout and, you know, I tell DJ in the huddle, if they press you like that again, you'll run a vertical, a go ball. And then, if they get, you know, outside leverage, you know, we'll run a glance or a, you know, five step and, you know, snap it off. And, told DJ that in the huddle, you just made sure that, you know, we were on the same page, you know, so we can go and execute. And then, after I told DJ that, told everybody that it's down clock, and then, you know, once DJ catches it, we'll have to run up there, clock it, and then and then put it through to Everett, and that's what happened.
With a thin margin for error, though, with the clock, how do you get the confidence of the group collectively to get that done with little despair?
Yeah, we practice it all the time. We've throughout this, this season, I know there's been, times throughout the season where we've marched down the field and in 2 minutes over and over again. And whether we put ourselves in position for field goals or put ourselves in position to score, we've done it, five times this season. And, those situations didn't go our way, whether it was the Hail Mary or, a bunch of other things. Being able to do it this way, being able to end the season off the right way. Like I said, being able to have the first win of 2025 versus Green Bay on a 2 minute drive, couldn't ask for a better way.
32 yard touchdown play to DJ Moore on that drive. You had a couple of third down conversions. I think they were both to DJ Moore. How fine of a line is it on these drives in that stadium, in that position?
Yeah, to be honest with you, it's a wonderful stadium. I know Bears fans probably won't want to hear that, but I grew up an Aaron Rodgers fan, and then being able to actually be here and come out with the win, being able to be here and play on this field, being able to be here and, see the history between the Bears and Green Bay and come out with the win the way that we did. It was great. It was awesome. Great moment, and I can't wait to keep growing and keep having more of those moments.
Chris Brown said that you guys have had some pretty intense conversations in the last week.
Yep.
What has that been like, and how have you received that, and how helpful has that been?
Yeah, it's been great. The way I grew up, I always respond to challenges. The way I grew up, I always respond well to people that tell me the truth. And so I would say that's what he did. And got to keep growing, got to keep going, got to keep, no matter the situation and how I'm feeling, got to find ways to be better, got to find ways to have games like this where it's tough and find ways to come out with the win again.
You mentioned the team needing to take a monumental jump was your word in this coming offseason. What needs to change here, and what is your role in that?
I think my role in that is being able to see where I can grow, whether it's on the field, whether it's off the field, whether it's in the locker room or anything like that. Whether it's off the field and maybe having less people around, less distractions, less less time for other things, whether that's on the field and being able to decipher, things faster on the field, whether that's, being able to be more accurate, whether that's being able to have more game-winning drives, whatever it takes is kind of where I'm at for myself. And then for this team, just having the right people, the right people, and that's first. Before, schemes, before the type of player, 6'5" and this and that, having the right people here, whether it's a locker room, whether it's, the people upstairs, coaches, whatever the case may be, just having the right people overall in the building to be able to, help grow the culture. Because I believe TB's probably said this, but culture is people. And so being able to have the right people in the building, being able to start there, And then from there you can grow. You can from there have the right people with the right scheme, and you make monumental jumps from there.
Do you think you'll be more proactive and assertive in setting the tone next season?
Absolutely. I think being able to watch, being able to see all what goes on this first year was big for me. Like I said early on, being able to sit back and learn, how to lead in this league, how to, what's needed, what's not needed, what to do, what not to do, and things like that. I think next year will be a big jump for me, and I'm really excited about it.
Is this the coldest game you played in?
I don't know. How cold was it?
I don't know.
Just 10
or 12.
Why did
the wind chill was 5?
The ground was a little bit more slick, and so the ball is a little more slick, and so a glove with any type of wetness on the football or anything like that, it doesn't help out. So if it rains, I take off the glove. If the ground's a little bit more slick, I take off the glove, and then from there it's just go play ball.
What's the process of getting competitively reset after PJ's fumble and knowing the game is where it's at and you got to get yourself ready to get back locked in?
Yeah, the good thing is that it didn't happen on the their 30, 20 yard line, so they were super close. And so being able to have enough time on the clock was big. But being able to reset, I mean, the game's not over. I feel like when I'm on the field, the game's not over until the clock hits zero. And so being able to, you know, keep the competitiveness going. You know, I had 58 seconds on the clock when we stepped out there, or 50 seconds or something like that. You know, after the return, 54, and then I think it went down to 46 after return. And so being able to, you know, go out there, make plays, execute when it mattered most is always the most important.
Two more. Not taking the sack, especially in some of those critical situations. On that game-winning drive, early you get flushed out to your right, holding it, trying to find a guy, beat the end around, end up getting the horse collar. Then later on, they almost got you again, but you find just enough as you're going down to get the ball, at least in the direction of Cole, to avoid the sack or the intentional grounding. Is that in your mind? Is that part of the conversation that you and Coach Brown have been having about those key situations and taking those sacks?
Yeah, it's definitely been on my mind. Being able to understand the situation, being able to understand it's, you know, it's okay to throw the ball to bounce, but it's okay to, when I'm getting sacked, throw it, you know, past the line of scrimmage, obviously, and you know, near a guy and dirt it if I'm in the pocket. If I'm not, just throw it out of bounds, dirt it, whatever the case may be. Live the fight for another down, and that's what happened today. I think it was 20 seconds on the clock when I threw the first one. If I got sacked right there, the game was over. And so being able to understand the situations and knowing how much time I have and, you know, where my hots are, if I have to dirt and things like that is, you know, you know, a part of the growth. And, you know, I got to have more of those moments throughout, you know, next year and, then, you know, the years to come. So, live the fight for another down is that moment and that mindset that I had at the end of the game. And I think offensive line, I think, to be honest, throughout this whole game did a hell of a job. The first sack of the game was my fault. Letting the, I don't know if I can curse on here. Damn ball. Is that a curse word? I don't want to get fined. No, I won't say it. X that out. I didn't say that. Let the ball go through my hands on the first one, and very frustrating, but wasn't on them. And then from there, I think they did a hell of a job throughout this game, been able to keep me upright, and you know, whether it was a run game or myself, been able to find a way to win the game at the end of the day.
Caleb, now last one. You came in here and did get this win against the Packers today. What can you tangibly take from this to apply to next year, future, whatever?
Yeah. Sky's the limit, and probably more than the sky. We got to find ways to, like I said, get the right people here, you know, from there, grow, build the culture. And this is just a stepping stone. Like I said, you know, the first win of 2025. We got a lot more to come.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. The Bears.
Bear down, as he would say. Caleb Williams talking to the media following the Bears' victory, 24-22 over the Green Bay Packers. Caleb Williams on the day, 21 for 29 for a 72% completion percentage. I feel like that's the highest of his season. Let me go check that out for you. 72. I mean, even in college, he was hovering right around like 66%. But he had a 80% completion percentage game against the Jacksonville Jaguars in that 35-16 win. He was 23 for 29 there. He was in his fourth game of the season, 17 for 23, and a 24-18 win against the Rams, who are headed to the playoffs.
How about that first Packer game? 74.2%.
Yeah. He was there, 23 for 31. Bears could have had that one. So there's a trend here. When Caleb, okay, San Fran, he had 73.9. He was 17 for 23, but when Caleb Williams is slanging that thing, Bears getting a dub. Damn, Washington. That would have been four straight victories, too, that Washington game. Put the Bears at 5-2. If the Bears are 5-2 and beat Washington, they beat Arizona, right? No, I'm saying, if they win that game, they beat Arizona and they beat New England, and they beat Green Bay, then that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6
in a row?
Eight. Would have been 8 wins on the season so far, beating them. Lose to Minnesota by 3, Green Bay by 3. Get that ass spanked by San Fran and Minnesota. Seattle, maybe you pull out the victory. So you're not, I'm trying to go to the fact that you need 10 wins to get to the playoffs. You got to get 10. And even there, that's 8 when you stop at Green Bay. And even if you lose all those rest of the games, you'd have to beat San Fran and you'd have to beat Seattle in order to get to 11.
The Washington game really changed the trajectory of the entire season.
Yeah, because then, or actually, you know, you win the last, would you have won the last game of the season? The last game of the season would have been one to get us in the playoffs. And then Bears fans would have been pissed. And it's like, dude, you got close. It's a lose-lose situation with these kinds of things. But Caleb Williams, 21 for 29, buck 48, low. 5.1 yards per attempt, low, super low. One tutty, no interceptions. We know that's right. Three runs for 10 yards. Had the one design run on 3rd and 2, I believe it was. It's a great call. Got the first down. Only sacked once. Fewest sacks for Caleb Williams since week 5.
So much for that record.
Oh, he needed like, what, 6 more?
No, I think he had 67 entering this week.
67.
Still like 4th most in a season all time. But didn't break 70.
To get one sack is good. One sack for 7 yards against that defense where just a few weeks ago, only gave up 3 to them.
But you look at all the wins, to your point about the sacks, every single win this year, he got sacked 3 or fewer times.
Yeah.
And basically all of the losses, it was 4 or more.
But I think all Bears fans loved, it looked so much more natural. And it sucks that, you know, you hear him talking about it, got to see another day. Like, bro, you should have known that weeks ago. But it felt good as a Bears fan to see Caleb Williams make his way towards the sideline and then throw the ball out of bounds. Untouched. Like, no issues. Wasn't trying to do too much. Wasn't fearful he was going to break his leg on a reverse something. Just threw it out of bounds, lived to play another day. I had no problem with that whatsoever. That's why he only had one sack.
I just realized too, Gabe, the one play he got sacked was the very first play of the game.
Was
when
it really?
Remember when he mishandled the snap?
Oh, dude. Talk about just like,
if he doesn't drop that snap, I mean,
yeah.
The pressure was there, but him not dropping that snap, we could be talking about a sack-free game.
His first sack-free
game.
That's a great point. We got to talk about that. Bring that up a couple more times because that's a good one. Only sacked once, but he wouldn't have been sacked at all had he not fumbled that ball, which just was so funny because it came on the heels of the botched, which I know we got to go to break, but
what a weird special teams day.
Dude, the fact that Green Bay muffed the snap on the punt, got it back, and no Bear was still within 5 yards of the punter. It's like, what? Every time I see a punt, someone's so close to a punter. And this guy got the what? When he got the ball, turned around.
No pressure from that line.
Still managed to put a perfect punt. That was weird. So for Caleb Williams to muff that right after that happened was wild. But you know what? I'm going to let TB, as everybody's been calling him. No, I'm not talking about tuberculosis. I'm talking about Thomas Brown.
You're not talking about Tom Brady?
Definitely not talking about Tom Brady. So what did he have to say about the play from Caleb Williams, about the victory, what that meant for this team? But I'll tell you this. It wasn't 3 minutes like it's been the last couple of weeks. It wasn't a short press conference. Thomas Brown had some interesting things to say about his quarterback and what his trajectory is for next season. I want you guys to hear it. I'm going to play it for you on the other side. Don't go anywhere. All right, it's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you till 5 a.m. right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.